Pretty good. Good morning. We're calling to order this Wednesday, January 28th, 2015 variance hearing. I'm Scott Sanchez, the zoning administrator, here with Eva Ahtar Taylor as the executive secretary, who will be at the controls for the hearing today. We typically begin with some general information about the hearing process. First, the order of presentation. The applicant and or owner will be allowed 5 minutes to present oral arguments as to how the 5 findings necessary to grant a variance have been met. During this time, the applicant should also submit their declaration of posting when they approach to present their case. Any members of the public, either proponents or opponents, will be allowed 3 minutes to speak each. If there is any public testimony in opposition or if we have any questions, the project sponsor will be allowed a 3-minute rebuttal. During the hearing, I may ask questions of the applicant or members of the public. At the end of the item, I may close the public hearing and take the matter under advisement or may state a decision today. I may also continue this item to a future date. And if everyone could please be quiet, that would be much appreciated. There are 2 items on the consent calendar today. These are matters that are considered routine by the zoning administrator. And if anyone would like to speak on one of these items, please step forward. Otherwise, those 2 items would be granted. There is a general public comment at the end of the hearing for items that are not on the agenda, and members of the public will be allowed 3 minutes each to speak. Now, the criteria for justifying a variance under Planning Code Section 305C states that in order to grant a variance, the zoning administrator must determine that the facts of the case are sufficient to establish the following 5 findings. Finding number 1, that there are exceptional and extraordinary circumstances applying to the property involved or to the intended use of the property that do not apply generally to other property or uses in the same class district. Finding number 2, that owing to such exceptional and extraordinary circumstances, the literal enforcement of specified provisions of the planning code would result in practical difficulty or unnecessary hardship not created by or attributable to the owner of the property. Finding number 3, that such variance is necessary for the preservation and enjoyment of a substantial property right of the subject property possessed by other property in the same class of district. Finding number 4, that the granting of such variance will not be materially detrimental to the public welfare or materially injurious to the property or improvements in the vicinity. And finally, finding number 5, that the granting of such variance will be in harmony with the general purpose and intent of the planning code and will not adversely affect the general plan. Due to current backlogs, it may take up to 2 months to have the decision letter issued. This is important because the decision letter carries with it the ability to appeal the decision to the Board of Appeals, and this can be done within 10 days of the issuance of the written decision. If anyone would like a copy of the decision letter, please sign in for the case on the sign-in sheets on the far wall. Other items, private conversations can and are very disruptive during the hearing, so please conduct all private conversations outside the hearing room. While we do encourage parties to meet and discuss and talk over issues regarding cases, we request that that be done outside. The next variance hearing is scheduled for Wednesday, February 25th, 2015. Audio recordings of these variance hearings beginning with the January 2011 hearing are available on our website as a link on the hearing agenda. And we can move on to the consent calendar.
There are 2 items in our consent calendar. Item number 1, case number 2014.0443V, 495 Harkness Avenue, front setback variance sought. Item number 2, case number 2014.0795V, 431 to 433 2nd Avenue, dwelling unit exposure variances sought.
Is there any public comment on either of these 2 items, item number 1, 495 Harkness Avenue, or item number 2, 431 to 433 2nd Avenue? Seeing, sir, do you have a public comment in opposition?
Oh, no.
Are you the project sponsor? Okay, so at this point, we would be inclined to grant the case, and so unless if there is some other public comment, we would be inclined to grant the requested variances. So with that, we'll close the public hearing on items number 1 and 2. And inclined to grant those requested variances, and now we can move on to the regular calendar.
Regular calendar, item number 3, case number 2014.1092V, 54 Commonwealth Avenue, side yard variance sought. Project sponsor, please approach the mic. You have 5 minutes.
You
if my boss is not here yet, can we postpone? Can we do it in the, can we skip over us? Yeah, thank you.
Mr. Administrator, the item number 3 for 54 Commonwealth, they're waiting for their architect to arrive.
Okay.
So if we can move them at a later time.
Sure thing.
Okay, while we're waiting for the architect for item number 3, we will move to item number 4, case number 2014.1373V, 120 Retiro Way, rear yard variance sought. Is the sponsor of this project here?
Yes.
Please approach the mic. You have 5 minutes. Use the middle mic, please. Thank you.
I'm Steve Shogan with Lawson Willard Architecture. I'm the project sponsor. The proposed project involves a three-story single-family dwelling in the marina, 120 Retiro Way. It's zoned as a three-family dwelling as an RH3, so the setbacks are a lot more stringent for this particular project. We do still have a 15-foot open space from the rear of the property. The proposed project involves replacing an exterior deck with a bathroom over a non-conforming existing structure that is within the setback. We would not be expanding the building envelope. We would be preserving the overall nature of the neighborhood. It is not visible from the street. And the owners are here, Amrit and Ritu. They've been there for 10 years, and I do believe that we would not be damaging the overall nature of the neighborhood. They are residents of San Francisco. They would like to stay here. They do have an expanding family. So these are the owners, Amrit and Ritu Nagpal.
Hi, Amrit and Ritu Nagpal, owners of 120 Retiro Way. We've lived in San Francisco since 1997. We've been in our current house at 120 Retiro Way for 10 years. We have a growing family with three young children, ages 9, 7, and 3. All three children are sharing one bathroom upstairs, and we fully believe that adding an additional bathroom would greatly improve our daily lives and also allow us to stay in our current home. We're very committed to living in San Francisco. We love living here and raising our children here. They all go to school here. Our neighbors have no issues with the project. We have a letter of support from our adjacent neighbor, and we've received verbal support from our other adjacent neighbor, and we very much hope that the planning department will approve our request. Anything to add? Thank you very much.
Thank you. So just one question. I think you really already answered it, but one question that I had for staff was that it's being built essentially with two ensuite bathrooms, and so the additional bathroom, you said, is just to provide enough bathing facilities for your family, and there was no way to really accomplish that within the existing footprint.
That's correct. Right now, they're all sharing one bathroom, and bedtime is a little hectic, and so if we had an additional bathroom, then we could have the kids taking baths at the same time, getting ready at the same time, and as they get older and want more space, particularly our daughter, to get ready, we think that this would help, and there's not a way to do that without utilizing this space because it's a relatively compact floor plan.
Okay. Thank you.
Thank you.
Is there any public comment regarding this project? And we're on item number 4 for 120 Retiro Way. Seeing no public comment, I close the public hearing. Be inclined to grant the requested variance, noting, in addition to the argument stated, the lot configuration that you have the front property line, which is not parallel to the rear property line. You have a substantially shorter north side property line, and the building itself is also set back substantially from the front property line. So I think that those are factors that go into justifying the rear yard variance. And we can move on to the next.
Item number 5, case number 2014.1418V, 330 Second Avenue, rear yard variance sought. Project sponsor here for this project? 330 Second Avenue. Moving to item number 6, case number 2014.1152V, 75 Buena Vista Terrace, rear yard and usable open space variances sought. Project sponsor for this project here, 75 Buena Vista Terrace. Please approach the mic. You have 5 minutes, ma'am.
Okay. We have actually one more person who's not here. Is it possible to move to later?
We can, yeah. I mean, we're running through the cases, so
okay.
Hopefully they show up soon. Because
they should be here any minute.
Okay.
Thank
sure.
you.
Okay, moving to item number 7, case number 2014-0792V, 429 Buena Vista Avenue East, rear yard variance sought. Project sponsor here, please approach the mic. You have 5 minutes as well.
Good morning. I wanted to speak on this. I'd have reviewed the drawings, and also I have some images here that I'd like to. Okay, so this is really an infill below and a deck at the rear of the building, and also just a little pop out on the left-hand side. I'll get another image in a minute. But starting off, first of all, the subject property is about in this area over here. And as you can see, it's uphill, and so it doesn't obstruct any view, it doesn't encroach into any other property, it doesn't cause any shade or any of that. So it's really just an infill below this, the deck that you'll see on the next image. Okay, so over here you can see where the deck is, and below we'll be filling it below that, and also this rear part of the house over here. And that's really what this project is all about, to expand horizontally at the rear. And I just want to stress it does not impact any of the neighbors. I did see the letter that came in from the neighbors claiming all sorts of things, but they're at the lower end, so you know it really doesn't affect them one iota. But anyway, I'll let the owner of the property speak on this also.
Hi, my name is Shannon Reardon. I've lived in San Francisco since 1991. I've owned this property for 10 years, and this is a small remodel. It's adding only 162 square feet to my unit. My partner, Joe, and I are planning a family. We'd like to stay in the city. We'd like to have a family in this place. Although claims by my neighbors talk about some sort of towering remodel, that's not the case. It's filling in below. From the viewpoint, from the eyeball viewpoint, from their units, it is really, really small. And what else am I missing?
We're in the backyard, so in order to even see it, they have to look up the hill to see it behind them. It doesn't affect light or view or anything. I don't even think they would notice if we didn't.
It doesn't affect shadows or lights. Also, the claim by the neighbors talks about the entire complex being one-bedroom apartments or one-bedroom units. In fact, almost half are two-bedroom, and of the 11 units, five are already two-bedrooms. And I think that this doesn't it's not an exception to the rule. It's actually in line with what the rest of this building actually has.
Thank you.
This is a neighbor who lives in my building that's going to talk on behalf of the approval by the Homeowners Association.
Okay. Yep, and I'm just here to say that it was unanimously decided that it was okay, agreed upon, and we'd actually like to have them, just keep them in the place. So that's it.
Hi, my name is Martin Wapalka. I'm the designer on the project. And the sort of last item that I'd like to speak to is this project sought to avoid creating any impacts on a courtyard space that's also in the complex and which has been identified as potentially a resource. And also we were really trying to keep the proposal very modest and just infill underneath an existing deck. So really not create any new impacts on any of the neighbors.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Just a couple questions. So one, is this owned as a TIC, I'm assuming?
Yes.
Okay.
TIC.
And the second is that the extension is not going any further to the rear than the existing deck. You're just infilling beneath it.
Correct. Yeah, it's exactly in line with the deck itself.
And then you noted the building may be a potential resource, and you noted the kind of the character-defining feature of that front courtyard, which will not be impacted. But there's also kind of a rear lot, like a separate, looks like one or two lots that are under common ownership by the association, mm-hmm. and that provides usable open space for the property as well. Is that correct?
Yeah.
Okay. Great. Thank you. We'll see if there's any public comment on this item.
Thank you.
Thanks. So any public comment on this item? And we are on item number 7 for 429 Buena Vista Avenue East.
You have 3 minutes.
3 minutes? Good morning, Zoning Administrator Sanchez. Neil Hart. I live at 278 Roosevelt Way. I'm here to speak for 7 property owners and 3 tenants on Roosevelt Way. We request the Zoning Administrator deny the variance application for this rear yard for the reasons stated in the packet. To seek and justify a variance, all 4 variance requirements, findings need to be made, and the 8 priority policies. You can't choose one or the other. All of them have to be met. In summation, the plans accompanying the rear yard variance application illustrate 2.5 stories of habitable construction, replacing what is an existing open, airy, projecting deck. The deck is located 2.5 stories above grade. The existing deck is not a building mass and consequently is perceived differently than a 2.5 story habitable rear yard addition would from the downhill properties on Roosevelt Way that share the adjacent mid-block open space. The resulting 2.5 story project with its additional bedroom, expanded master bedroom, would negatively and adversely impact the lower downhill properties on Roosevelt Way because, yes, it would tower above them in height and be located closer to their rear building wall and their shared rear property line, which would be diminished in depth if a variance is granted. It's not just infilling a deck. This deck is 2.5 stories in the air. The shared mid-block open space would be diminished in size. Furthermore, if a variance was granted, there are 11 units in this multifamily building. There are 4 that face the rear yard. There are 3 other units besides the subject property. There must be a combination of 7 to 9 decks at the rear of this building. If you allow infill under one, you're setting a precedent for infill under the other decks. You need to look at the rear wall of this property. In addition, I hear what the project sponsor said, that half the units are 2-bedroom. I will accept that. I have not seen the property in many years, but it had been a series of 11 1-bedroom cottages. There were entry-level units. They were affordable in the city, and increasing them in size would decrease the affordability of the units. And I do hope you'll pay attention to our petition. I don't know if you're... Is your overhead picture? Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm. So this is the subject property, and the people opposed are the property owner at 258 Roosevelt Way, the tenant at 260 Roosevelt Way, the 2 property owners at 266 Roosevelt Way, the property owner of 272 Roosevelt Way, the tenant of 274 Roosevelt Way, the property owner, I'm one of them, at 278 and 278A Roosevelt Way, and the property owner of 280-282 Roosevelt Way. That's 7 property owners, 3 tenants on the downhill side who feel that this construction will negatively and adversely impact them. The findings require that there are unusual, extraordinary circumstances applying to the property. And indeed, this is not a single-family house. This is a multi-unit building, 4 units face the back. And thank you for asking. I did not know if it was condos or a tenancy in common. It's a tenancy in common. So you have to look at it as one whole building and not an individual single-family home. The variance should be denied so as not to increase the noncompliance of the subject property's rear yard. The resulting 2.5 story, as I said, would negatively affect the downhill properties who do look up at it. It will add mass to the building. As I said, it should not set a precedent. that also, owing to such exceptional, extraordinary circumstances, is a second finding for variance to be granted, would not result in a practical hardship not created by the owner. The property owner was aware of the planning code provisions pertaining to this property at the time of purchase. Expansion of non-complying units in the required rear yard is not as of right, requires an exception to the quantitative requirements of the planning code, which is why we're here today. I'm out of time?
Yes.
Okay.
If you want to just finish up that thought?
Well, I just said on balance, the effect of granting the variance has to be balanced, the impact on the neighbors. It does adversely affect the neighbors. Okay. And I could go on, but you have the document in front of you which responds to the four findings and eight priority policies. Thank you for your time.
Thank you. Do you have any photos demonstrating the impact? I think from the photos that I have seen, I guess I'm a bit at a loss to see really what the impact is. So you have photos that demonstrate that. There's look like there's a lot of greenery, mature trees in the mid-block open space that would...
The only photograph we have is what appears in the packet, which shows the infill. And
so you don't have any photos from
any
of the properties down below, which...
I didn't think to bring any photographs, but I'm saying, you know, this is one deck. There are at least seven or nine in the back. There's a potential cumulative impact.
But any other proposal would also need to be evaluated.
What?
Any other proposal would need to be evaluated separately and would need to seek and justify a variance. There's no... this variance doesn't authorize any other work than that which is stated on the plans here.
Right. I understand.
And part of the argument in the letter was regarding a concern about loss of affordable housing. Could you elaborate on that? I think the sponsor has argued that this is something that they're making more family-sized housing out of an existing home that they've owned for about 10 years. And it's essentially filling under an existing deck that extends about 1 foot six beyond the main building wall at the rear. So could you...
Well, it doesn't... It extends more than 1 foot six. I mean, the rear building wall is defined as the wall from which the deck projects. So I can't... The plans were not clear. However deep the deck is, that is how much depth is being added for the 2.5 stories. It's not 1.5 feet. The building goes like... You know, this. It's in and out, in and out.
Okay. Well, we can have the sponsor come back and discuss that. Okay, thank you.
You're welcome. Thank you.
Is there any other public comment on this item? And we are on item number 7 for 429 Buena Vista Avenue East.
Hello.
Hi.
You have 3 minutes. Good morning. My name is Victoria Giannini, and I'm here to represent myself and Mr. Nick Vakurovich. We're the owners of 266 Roosevelt Way. Our house is located downhill on the side of the subject property at Buena Vista Avenue. I am speaking for myself and Mr. Vakurovich and my 10 neighbors who object to this. We request that the zoning administrator deny the variance request for 429 Buena Vista for the reasons outlined by Mr. Hartman's presentation. Thank you.
Thank you. Is there any other public comment on this item? Item number 7. Seeing none, project sponsor, you'd have a 3-minute rebuttal. And maybe if the architect also, I do have just some questions, would like them to elaborate further on what the true nature of the projection is. I mean, that can be in addition to the 3 minutes that you have. So.
Right. A couple things. It's not 2.5 stories. The deck is not 2.5 stories above ground. It's about 1.5 stories above ground. So that's something I want to make clear. This is an important part of my life. If we can't complete this expansion, we're going to have to leave the city in order to have a family.
Yeah, the infill is only going to be about 2 foot six. Actually, that existing deck projects about 2 foot six from the back wall, and then the back wall actually it undulates somewhat, so it varies how much it's going to be projecting. One comment I would like to make that was something you touched on earlier is at this location the rear yard for the lot is actually deeper because we have those two adjacent sublots. And so those actually provide some extra depth on that side, and that which was the basis for our for our sort of deciding to push out in this direction at this specific location.
Thank you. The trees that are we see in the photo.
I just want to say, on behalf of the homeowners, the trees that you see.
If you could sorry, just go to the mic so we can get it recorded.
Oh, yeah. Just on behalf of the homeowners, like the trees that you see there, pretty much block every one of those views on Roosevelt, and which is just kind of odd that the people that are blocking or trying to stop this variance aren't the actual homeowners right behind or the ones adjacent or on the side of us. It's the people that can't even see that part. So.
I was just going to add, I guess, that I just find it puzzling because these houses in the foreground here are the ones that are saying they're affected, and I truly just can't see how this affects these houses.
And so are the trees that we see, are they on your property or are they on the rear yards of adjacent properties?
Ours.
And, one is on ours and one is in a neighbor's yard.
And will any of those be removed during the construction process here?
No, all the trees stay.
Okay. All right. And so as you noted in terms of the projection was 2'6" from that was from kind of the it's an articulating rear building wall here, and you said it was 2'6" from, and maybe you could go to the photo just to demonstrate that was more the close up because it looked like there was a bay window there, and it's going to be about 2'6" beyond
it's about 2'6" beyond the bay window at its maximum.
Okay,
yeah. Just underneath the deck. Yeah.
And underneath the deck.
Yeah.
Okay.
Not any farther than the deck.
Okay. All right. Thank you.
Thank you.
So with that, I will close the public hearing on this item. Appreciate the project sponsor gets a rebuttal. Is there one particular point that you need to address?
Yes. The one point has to do with what is the rear building wall. If the black is what the construction area is, and this is the rear building wall, not the projection beyond this. This is the rear building wall. So it's 6-7 feet times two stories. And if you look at the graphic, one story, two story, and a crawl space is why I estimated 2.5 stories.
Okay, thank you. Yeah, no, I think the points are clear, and I think the architect made that clear during their presentation.
And the other thing is Vicki and Nick are the adjacent neighbors on the side, and we have a letter from the neighbors on the other side. So okay. The opposition is not coming from people.
I did see in your letter, I saw that it was the good
thank
majority.
You.
I think all
key to a graphic.
The properties.
Thank you.
Thank you. So
I have one thing to say.
No. Sorry. I mean, I think we've had plenty of time here. I think we need to get through this hearing again. Unless if there's some critical point that I'm missing, I think that Mr. Hart had addressed all the questions. I appreciate the arguments that have been made here, and at this point I do find that the findings are necessary to grant a variance have been met, all five findings, and without being inclined to grant the requested variance, noting that this is an existing legal non-complying structure within the required rear yard and also the potential historic resource. So, with that, if anyone would like to get a copy of the decision letter, we'll elaborate on the findings, please sign in on the sign-in sheet, and we can move on to the next item. And I don't know if we want to go back to an earlier item.
Yes,
and see if they're...
I think they're ready. Item number three, we're going to go back to item three. Item number three, case number 2014.1092V, 54 Commonwealth Avenue, side yard variance sought. You have 5 minutes, sir.
My name is Stephen Sutro. I'm an architect here in San Francisco. We're applying for relief from the side yards required in the RH1D. This property is in Jordan Park, where many of the properties have been eccentrically built in position on their lot. So we have a side yard on one side that is 15 and a half feet. On the other, the existing house is roughly 2 feet from the property line, 1 foot 11 inches. Our project is an extension at the rear, and we're looking to have exception from the side yard at the small corner that would not comply. The hardship here is that the existing historical position of the building is not in compliance And if we were to continue or to jog the building to a 5-foot required side setback there, it would make for an eccentric massing and difficult living space on the inside. It's a nice being home, and it's not that there's a space hardship particularly, but that the house would not be as good looking and would not perform as well if we had the jog there. We have precedent for this kind of variance in this neighborhood, actually a few doors down at number 26 Commonwealth, which also is built eccentrically off to one side. The massing in the area of the addition, the proposed addition, is single story with a terrace above. And so I don't think that the addition of the mass presents any problem for the northerly neighbor who we've interfaced with and seems to be supportive. The addition is hidden, of course, mostly behind the fence, though it rises above the fence by about four feet. I think that's it.
Thank you. As you noted, the building, the existing siding is asymmetrical on the property, and you have about a 15.5-foot wide driveway on the south side property line, and your proposed addition will maintain that setback.
It does not change that. That's correct, yes.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right. Well, we'll see if there's any public comment. And I know the Section 311 expired last month, and there were no discretionary reviews.
That's right. But
that's correct.
Correct, yeah.
All right, we'll see if there's any public comment on this item. And we are on item number, what were we, back to three?
Three. Item number three.
So item number three for 54 Commonwealth Avenue. Seeing no public comment, we close the public hearing, be inclined to grant the requested variance, noting that it's an existing legal non-complying structure and that they will be maintaining a greater than required setback on the south side property line. So consistent with other development in the neighborhood, we can move on to the next item.
Can I go back to item number five? The sponsor might be here.
Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Item number five, case number 2014-1418V, 330 Second Avenue. Are you this? Rear yard variance sought. You have 5 minutes, ma'am.
So if you use the other microphone, please.
The middle.
Thank you. The existing stair,
can you use the mic?
The proposal for this project is to rework the egress stair from the fourth floor egress balcony so it no longer land. This is the existing stair going down, landing on the third floor deck. So you can see here it comes down and lands in front of the egress doors out for the third floor deck. So we're proposing changing the egress path so you go directly down the from the fourth floor onto a landing and meet up with the egress path. So you have a better egress path and you're not landing the fourth floor egress path in front of the private deck of the third floor. It requires a variance because the rear yard line it's going to project into the rear yard line. The existing stair that goes up to the second floor is already projecting past the rear yard line. So in order to get it to work to get to that level, we have to project past the rear yard line up on the third floor, which will, that's the existing, which will bring the landing, which is here, approximately up 25 feet from the original, which is 20 feet. So we're bringing it up a little bit on the third floor and projecting it past the rear yard line about 4 feet.
Thank you. So it was my understanding from staff, and I'm maybe mistaken, that the proposal was revised based on comments or discussions with an adjacent neighbor. And was that the adjacent neighbor to the south?
It is the adjacent neighbor to the north.
To the north, okay.
Yes.
Okay, thank you.
And it was revised. Originally, we were projecting 8 feet out, and we were taking a more direct route instead of having to cut back into their fourth floor deck, but we revised it, so we're taking a little bit of space out of the fourth floor deck and changing the route. So we're bringing it back approximately to, let's see if I can see it on the site plan, the area of the pop-out of the neighbor to the north. So we're not projecting past their bay windows any longer.
I'm assuming that this, given the number of units in the building, that this is a required means of egress under the building code?
Yes.
Okay. Thank you. And we'll see if there's any public comment on this item. And we are on item number 5 for 330 Second Avenue.
You have 3 minutes. Please approach the mic.
I'm the neighbor north of 330 Second Avenue. And in the projected drawings, I noticed that they have my windows at a different height. And where they have their landing, it shows the landing below my window. But in reality, in my measurements, it lands directly in front of my window. So the landing would actually encroach on the sun light and the light of that unit.
Okay. Thank you for those comments. We'll ask the project sponsor to confirm those measurements. And you've had discussions with them previously about
this.
And so this is some new information that you've found that you didn't have before.
That's correct.
All right. Thank you. Is there, before we go back to the project sponsor, we'll see if there's any other public comment on item number 5. Any other member of the public for item 5? Seeing none, project sponsor, you have a 3-minute rebuttal, and if you could also kind of address the concerns raised about the accuracy of the plans.
Okay. So, first, this is an open stair. It's not a solid structure, so it's has an open rail system and the landing. We located those windows based on dimensions from our building. So we located them to the best of our building without having access to his site of where they will sit. They might be an inch low or an inch high, plus or minus, but I think that they're pretty accurate based on what we could ascertain from the site. The buildings are about at the same elevation. They're both three stories, so they have similar heights of floors. So that would address that. And we also did a number of daylighting studies. I don't know if any, to kind of, we modeled it based on where we thought the windows were. And this would be December 21st at 9 a.m. So this is the, December 21st is the darkest day of the year. So we chose this day. And you can see, even if those windows were a little lower by 6 inches, it would still be getting sunlight at 9 a.m. and at 11 a.m. And then it starts to, around 12 a.m., the open rail system will start to project a little bit onto his building. But one of the reasons why we made the changes was so to lessen this impact. And then, you know, as the day goes on, because of the orientation of the building, eventually in the afternoon, everything's in shade. It's just the building, you know, is running east to west. And we also did June. And I think, I didn't bring it, but we have a little animation of June. And it doesn't project on the building at all during the summer. So it'll be a short period of time that'll happen in the winter. And we did March 21st. So you get a little bit of projection from the rail March 21st, but you can see that even if those windows, if we were off a little bit, they would still be at noon, mid-year, you wouldn't get any shadow, and the same thing in the fall, that's September.
Thank you. appreciate that you've already been working with the neighbor. Sounds like maybe this was some new information that has come up. At this point in time, I would be inclined to close the public hearing, but I would like you to maybe have further discussions with your neighbor and to, in particular, verify the height and the windows and clarify what impacts, if any, there would be on the light to those rear windows. And you've already revised the plans once to try to reduce impacts, and it just on a initial review, it seems a bit challenging to further revise that, to make changes to those top stairs, but you know, would like to have further discussions with the neighbor and report back to staff, you know, probably over the next week or two of any progress. But in particular, we'd like to verify the height of the window, so I'm sure we have accurate plans that depict the proper conditions. Thank you.
Going to is item number 6 ready? This is case number 2014-1152V, 75 Buena Vista Terrace. Please approach the mic. You have 5 minutes.
Hi, my name is Andy Rogers. I'm the architect for this project for my client. Who lives at 75 Buena Vista Terrace. We are here today regarding two variances that we have been advised are required in order to rebuild a deck at 75 Buena Vista Terrace. 75 Buena Vista Terrace contains a condominium in a two-unit building. The second unit is located on the upper level and is known as 77 Buena Vista. We first request a variance to rebuild an existing deck located at the rear of 75 Buena Vista from the rear yard depth requirement of Section 134. The new deck would be smaller than the existing deck. Currently, the deck is 12 foot 6 in depth. The new deck would be 8 foot 6 in depth. The Planning Department has notified us that a second variance is required for an open space deficiency located for 77 Buena Vista Terrace. We do not believe that an open space variance is necessary for this project because our client has a vested right to her separate lot. The city lacks authority to require changes to be made to a separate lot that is not undergoing work, and the work that is being done does not increase the nonconformity. In 2003, the city approved a condominium conversion creating two separate lots, Lot 60 and 61. At that time, Lot 61 had no more access to usable open space than it does today. In good faith reliance on the permits for the condominium conversion, our client has performed substantial and costly work to separate the lots, including building a second path of egress through the light well. As such, under California law, she has a vested right to her use and enjoyment of the separate Lot 60. She cannot be required to make changes to Lot 61 to provide open space 12 years after the completion of the condominium conversion that separated the lots. Next, we do not believe the city has the authority to require our client to meet the deficiency of open space on a legally separate lot. Our client wishes to alter a deck on Lot 60. The open space deficiency occurs on a separate lot, Lot 61. If followed, this precedent would allow the city or other property owners and tenants to hold up work for multi-unit condominiums. The city should not require variance to be sought for a separate lot because this would effectively allow one owner to hold up the work on another's property, either by refusing to agree to the work or refusing to authorize a variance request. Finally, our client is not increasing the nonconformity of open space at Lot 61 through this project at Lot 60. The project in no way affects the open space of Lot 61. This is not an alteration that should trigger changes to bring Lot 61 into conformity based on Planning Code Section 188. The city still has the authority to require open space to be provided when someone applies to make changes to Lot 61. This is simply not the appropriate project to require such a variance. If the city still disagrees and believes that a variance must be sought for the open space, we believe the variance is justifiable because significant barriers to constructing the open space exist. And I'd just like to run through some of those open space options and why they wouldn't work. The lower plan shows a number one at the rear yard, and that would not work because there is simply no access to that rear yard without going through the lower unit, which is lot number 60. For the same reason, number two, utilizing the existing second level deck would not work because it's not accessible without going through the lower unit as well. Another possibility would be creating a new deck for the upper unit. The problem with that is that it would have structural challenges that would encroach into the lower unit and would cut off natural light to that unit. The last option would be creating a roof deck for the upper unit, which could possibly work, but it has difficult challenges with access as well as structural issues, given that it would be at the top of a four-level building. So that also is not so feasible.
Okay. Thank you. So the concerns related to the usable open space for the upper unit was brought to my attention several weeks ago now by staff and was included in the variance notice here. We were first informed of concerns from the sponsor yesterday regarding the usable open space requirement and the variance for that. Do you at this time have the condominium map available?
Yes.
Could you put that on the overhead?
Sure.
So the rear yard is dedicated to the lower unit, unit 75.
That's correct.
And is there has there ever been access to the rear yard for the upper unit?
There was when the building was originally constructed, and back in 1961, I believe it was.
And when was that removed?
When was it removed? It was prior to my client owning the building. I'm not sure exactly when it was removed. It was the case that the lower level of this building was originally not living space. It was storage space, which was common to both units. And it was through that storage space that the upper unit had access to the rear yard.
And was there ever a variance sought when the connection was removed for the upper unit to have access to the usable open space in the required rear yard?
I believe that there was not.
Okay.
All of the work that was done to bring the building to what it is now was done prior to the condominium conversion in 2003. There's a permit history from 2000 to 2003, okay, where a lot of work occurred.
If I could also,
speak.
I'm Melissa Van Crum, the attorney for the property owner of Lot 60. The actual condominium conversion was done in order to fix various violations based on when the changes were made. So there were an entire list of items that were required in the condominium conversion, including creating the second access for egress. And at that time, nothing was required regarding open space. So at that time, the open space deficiency existed, and the condominium conversion nonetheless was approved.
But still, there's no variance on file that actually allows that.
I'm not aware of one. However, as I mentioned, we came on board recently, and okay, we're happy to do additional research to look into that.
Okay. Thank you. We'll move to public comment. Is there any public comment on this item or on item number 6 for 75 Buena Vista Terrace? Seeing none, we close the public hearing. I think additional research and information, certainly this is the first time we've seen, at least in many years, the condominium map. So if you have a copy of that you could submit to staff, that'd be great.
Yeah.
I'll take the matter under advisement and we can do further research in this. But my initial reaction is I don't see how we could move forward without a variance, since that there is no variance that does remove that usable open space obligation for the upper unit. So, but we can again have further analysis of this.
Okay. One further question. This is kind of this variance includes two separate matters? Is it, should the two stay together? Is it possible that the one can be separated off?
I think we should get to the bottom of everything before we take any action on any permits related to this unit to ensure that the property is in compliance with the law.
Okay. Thank you.
Thank you.
Moving to item number 8, case number 2014.1324V, 436 to 438 14th Street, rear yard variance sought. Project sponsor, please approach the mic. You have 5 minutes, sir.
Thank you. Good morning. My name is Gary Meyer. I'm the architect for this project. This project involves rebuilding an existing non-complying stairway at the rear of a building. The non-complying stairway predates the current ownership of the building. It is currently in a state of disrepair and does not meet current building code requirements in terms of stair rise and run, landing depth, stair width, etc. They wish to rebuild the stair in a code-compliant manner, and because it is in the required rear yard, they are seeking a variance to do so. Simply rebuilding the stair in its exact configuration would not have been an option because of the non-complying widths and the landing depths, et cetera. So we revised the design slightly. We turned the stair kind of perpendicular to the building as opposed to parallel to it. In so doing, we're able to meet building code requirements, and at the same time, we reduced the encroachment into the rear yard by about 6 inches. So far, we've heard of no objections from any of the neighbors, and so we hope that you will find this proposal acceptable. Thank you.
Thank you. And kind of similar question that I had for a previous case, that I'm assuming that this is a required second means of egress for the upper units. Is that correct?
That is correct. It's a four-unit building, and it is a required means of egress.
Okay. And it kind of, as in the other case, we typically do allow rebuild of required second means of egress, but the fact in this case there's also a deck associated with it that exceeds the minimum requirements for a landing, and so that's why it's requiring the variance in this case. But thank you.
Thank you.
Is there any public comment on this item? And we're on item number 8 for 436 to 438 14th Street. Seeing none, we can close public hearing, be inclined to grant the requested variance. Noting again, it is a required second means of egress, and they are overall reducing the, I believe, the impacts.
Moving to item number 9, case number 2014.1147V, 36 Cortland Avenue, rear yard variance sought. Project sponsor, you have 5 minutes.
Hello, hi. My name is Giuseppe Sirkin. I'm from AGO Group, designer and project sponsor for this. In this case, so basically, the main thing is that we're dealing with a lot that is 25 by 50 in size, compared to most of the lots in San Francisco is basically half. So the existing building is already the actual building, not considering the two-story little section that we're proposing to remove. Already encroaches into the required rear yard space, which wouldn't give us much room to do anything with the back of the building. So this property has been for over 10 years was a distressed property with several issues with the neighbor, many notices of abatement for lack of maintenance and people living and garage and the other two floors. Craig and Lorraine recently purchased the property. They intend to live there for a long time, and they're proposing to remove a two-story section in the back, enclosed, and build instead an open one-story deck. We have also a letter of support from one of the owners on the property in the back that actually supports the project because it increases, it makes their view better from her property, removing the solid walls. And we also believe this Well, being the two-story existing structure apparently was built illegally, even though it's been there for many, many years, but we couldn't find any proof of it. Any work to the rear of the building will require this structure to be demolished anyway, which will leave us without direct access from the second floor to the rear yard that could be also used as a means of egress. We just wanted to highlight the fact that most of the, but this is an RH2. We're not proposing to add a third floor for a second unit. The project proposes to improve the condition of the property and also of the neighbors, improving their view from their rear yards. And what else? Well, I think that will be it. Do you have anything to say? No.
It's just gonna improve the whole back. What was tacked on before was its siding that was never painted. It gets water in it, and we just want to remove it all and make it so that it's a better sight line, and it'll actually improve on the kind of green belt between all the yards because we're removing structure.
The main hardship for them and for us working on the project is the reduced size of the lot, so that it just doesn't give us much room to do anything.
Great. Thank you. Is there any public comment on this item? And we are on item number 9 for 36 Cortland Avenue. Seeing no public comment, we close the public hearing. Be inclined to grant the requested variance, noting, as the project sponsor stated, the substandard size of the lot at 25 by 50. There is an existing, albeit illegal, structure at the rear, which is being removed and reduced, and you're providing usable open space at the main living level. Otherwise, there's no direct access to the rear yard from the main living level of the building. So with that, we can move on to the next item.
Item number 10.
I have a quick question. I didn't bring a picture to attach to this.
You can email that to the planner.
Okay.
The case. That'd be great.
Okay, do you need this now? Or?
Yeah, that'd be great. Okay. We'll take that.
Thank you.
Item number 10, case number 2014.1132V, 2253 Clay Street, rear yard variance sought. Project sponsor, please approach the mic. You have 5 minutes, ma'am.
Mr. Chan Sanchez, good morning. For your record, Mary Gallagher. I'm here today with Peter Dion from Guest Architects, and I believe the owner, Mr. Gonzalez, is on his way. So this is the front of the building on Clay Street. Like its two immediately adjacent neighbors, it's, and most buildings on this side of the block, it's a two-unit building in an R2 zoning district. Oh, this is the views overhead from the rear of the street. This is the subject property. The rear yard line, based on averaging, is the rear yard or rear wall of the buildings. You can see that it's got a legal non-complying room. It's on the second floor with a deck around it. Actually, let me go back to that. Proposal is to fill in underneath the room, to remove portion of the deck that goes beyond the existing rear room, to extend that new room to the property line on this side, the east side, to remove the stairs that are on that side, and to put a new compact spiral stair behind the room. So here are the floor plans. So existing, you can see the stairs there. There's a little garden shed. And what we're going to do then is fill in underneath that room, expand it to the property line, have the new stairs here. And then so on the floor above, where we've got a deck all the way around the room with the stairs, we're going to remove that portion of the deck that's further in the required rear yard and move it all over to the side where some of the deck is now and the stairs are. This is a site view. In essence, we're making the lot coverage more compliant than it is now in exchange for moving the deck over to one side and having a room underneath it. This is a two-story or just a two-bedroom unit. It's modest size. This will make it three-bedroom, more of a family-size unit. We believe it's unusual in that part of the rear property line encompasses an alley in the back, so that shortens the availability of developable space. And additionally, because we're making the lot coverage more complying and the immediately adjacent houses are both complying, it brings a great benefit to the two immediately adjacent buildings. Because there are two-unit buildings on each side in this one, there are essentially five immediately adjacent owners, neighbors, and we have letters of support from each and every one of them. So with that reduction in noncompliance and full support from the immediately adjacent neighbors, we feel this is an excellent case for a variance. Mr. Doohan and I are available for questions.
Thank you. It's a very thorough presentation. I don't have any questions, but we'll see if there's any public comment on item number 10 for 2253 Clay Street. Seeing no public comment, we close the public hearing. Be inclined to grant the requested variance for the reasons stated by the project sponsor in their presentation and in their application. And we can, again, public hearing is closed. Inclined to
last
grant.
Item on our calendar. Item number 11, case number 2014.0815V, 1542 to 1546 Guerrero Street. Lot size, rear yard, usable open space, and parking variances sought. You have 5 minutes, sir.
Hi, good morning, Mr. Sanchez. Ahmad Lariza, the project sponsor. Here is a document to show that we post the building. I have the reason we're asking for variance on this case is, as you can see, the single house by itself. It doesn't require any. I mean, it required required the open space. But the problem is, this building has been built already. There is no open space for this unit as we speak. And it's a 750 square foot building, two bedroom apartment, and with two car garage. And the reason we're splitting this lot is because we can add one into the city's sources of single-family houses in San Francisco, because it's very hard to find anything like that. Since the building is already split, so we don't need to worry about building or any structure on this lot. The unit in the front is a mixed use, which is three residential unit and one commercial. The space in between two building, as you can see, that's for open space for the unit in the front that they can use because they have access to that area. We have one person call in and email me, and he is asking for construction. And we mentioned that there's no construction. I sent him an email, and I told him there is no construction on this location. This is a lot line adjustment, as you can see, 25 by 30 feet. That's the only thing we have on a small property. As you can see, they're adjusting that line, so they're creating a two new lot, one lot for a small house in Duncan Street and one for Guerrero Street.
Okay.
That's it?
Thank you. So there's no work proposed under the application. It is solely, as you stated, to create a new lot that would then be sold?
Yes.
Is that unit currently occupied?
Yes.
Are the tenants aware, I'm assuming, of this application? Do they have any intent to purchase?
No, we're just creating for future. If the tenant moved out or something and somebody wants to buy a property in San Francisco, at least they can have a single family, because as you know, San Francisco does not have it. Basically, it's very short of single family, husband and wife and the kids. They want to live by themselves and have a two-car garage, you know, but it's normal standard. But there's no...
But it's already used as a single family dwelling.
Yes.
So the use is not changing. It's not actually creating any new single-family dwellings in the city.
No, it's existing.
But once it's subdivided and sold, then the new owner could do an owner move and eviction and remove.
No, I don't think the owner wants to sell it. The owner is here. He's got a property in San Francisco. He's not selling any properties.
So what's the purpose of doing then if it's not to sell?
Well, it's not that they want to evict the tenant. First of all, the tenant, I can ask the owner is here. He can have any questions.
Doing it for future for my son. My son is young.
Okay, so if you could speak into that microphone. Thank you.
I have only one son, and I have a lot of property. This is only a small unit for future.
Okay.
And I treat the tenant always good. I have a few pieces in the city.
Okay.
And I don't have any problem with tenant or anything. And I don't get rid of anybody at all.
Okay.
Right. All right. Thank you very much.
Thank you. See if there's any public comment on this item. Again, we're on the last item on the calendar, item number 11 for 1542 to 46 Guerrero Street. So no public comment. Okay. With that, we will close the public hearing. I will take the matter under advisement. Just would like to discuss it a bit further with staff. I know that kind of immediately there's no other clear pattern of smaller lots, but in the neighborhood there may be a broader pattern of lots, and so I just would like again, to do maybe a bit more research into that matter. So we'll take the matter under advisement, and we'll get back to you with the decision at a later date.
Thank you.
So that was the last item. Seeing no one here for general public comment, we will adjourn this hearing and reconvene on February 25th, 2015. Thank you.